Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 83. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today, we have a really great episode for you guys. We have with us Christine Gettman, who is actually our very first guest on the podcast back in October 2017. And she is here with her partner, Scotty Fortmeyer, partner in life and in business and in crime, I'm sure, too. So really excited to have you both here today. So Christine, Scotty, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, this will be a lot of fun, and we'll get into all kinds of things that Christine and Scotty do, but what they're known for is they run Magic Wheelchair, which is the nonprofit organization that makes specialized costumes for kids in wheelchairs, and I hope adults one day, because, like, the costumes are just too cool, and I regret that I'm, like, above the age limit, but they do all kinds of crazy things and really cool stuff, and so really excited to have them on today. And so before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast was brought to you by Genentech, the makers of an FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay, well, Scotty, let's start with you, because we've had Christine on the show before. Like I said, that was the very first episode. Listeners want to go back to it. But Scotty, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do with Magic Wheelchair, anything else you'd like to say about yourself?
Okay. So strange to talk about myself, although I do it all the time. I guess I'm title-wise, outreach director for Magic Wheelchair. I guess what I do really is I have, like, gift of gab, and I run my mouth quite a bit, and so I don't have a problem talking to strangers. Like yesterday, I ran into out in the world a mom and her son, and he was in his chair, and I was like, hey, would you guys maybe be interested in Magic Wheelchair? This is what we do. We make really elaborate, amazing costumes for kids, and I mean, I guess really, my whole thing is just reaching out and trying to serve as many people as we possibly can. And I mean, there's a lot to it. Like, it's not just like me running up to random people. We do a ton of events, Comic Cons, and when the world's normal, we're really busy. And this past year's obviously been a little strange. And at first, we felt like kind of like, is this relevant still, or do families want this? But they do. And so I feel like we're getting back into the swing of things really, like, now, you know.
Sure,
but
sure.
As a person, I'm a guy that likes music and nice people. And Christine's, we've been together for 8 years. And yeah, that's that. She's pretty great.
No, that's awesome. And no, I know you, not just you like music, but you actually have a, I guess, previous life as a traveling musician. And I think, yep. I think that, to me, like, having known you for a few years too, both of you, we met at that panel we did for in front of the FDA years ago. And that's where I met both of you there. And like, and we've also done Comic Cons and stuff together. Which that was the most exciting thing, is when you guys came to my local Comic Con, I got to, like, fuse my SMA friends with my Comic Con people. So that was really cool. But no, Scotty, I think, like, your background as a musician definitely plays into your personality and that role you have at Magic Wheelchair, reaching out to people and making those connections.
Yeah, I've always thought, you know, I don't play music it's self-serving for sure, but I feel like the point of playing music is to entertain people, right?
Yeah.
And so I like that interpersonal connectivity, and I feel like I'm just a born performer. I like being on stage, and I feel like it helps me in my job. Like, especially if I'm running a booth, I've kind of like put together a spiel, you know, like it's almost scripted at this point. But I feel like it's all a performance in a weird way. Yeah, but that's kind of how I view life in general. Like I'm always kind of on, I guess.
That's great. That's great. And Christine, so, you know, back when we had you on that very first episode, which seems like forever ago now, but, you know, you gave your backstory, you have SMA and how you got involved with Magic Wheelchair, but I know a lot has changed since then. And so can you talk, I know you have an announcement recently too, I would love to hear more about. So can you talk, just kind of reintroduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you're doing now and both with Magic Wheelchair and a new job I think you want to talk about as well.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, when we did that podcast, I felt like I had no idea what I was talking about. I was such a rookie with Magic Wheelchair. There were so many things about fabrication and like the chemical reactions that go into the materials we use. I had no idea what I was talking about, but now I feel a little more comfortable. So yeah, since we spoke last, I was promoted to executive director of Magic Wheelchair. We've just really increased not only our donation revenue, but the shows that we go to, the types of costumes we make and the types of builders we serve. So not only do we serve families, but we serve makers. So we can, you know, work with cosplayers or home builders or maker spaces, professional prop shops, and even education sites like high schools and colleges, their engineering and their arts programs. So those are things that I feel like I maybe didn't speak so eloquently about the first time we did this podcast. But yeah, I mean, in the last few years, I'm finding more ways to be an advocate that feels natural to me and sharing my story and painting a picture to folks who don't know what it's like to live with a disability and kind of the nuances of our lives that are so different from others. The pandemic shaped the way I advocate a lot more. You know, it's for some folks, the world became less accessible to them. But for me, with everything going virtual, I found it to be more accessible. So I've been able to engage in more legislative advocacy and just, you know, providing testimony to different meetings that used to be closed off to me. But now it's just a click of a button. And we can talk more about, you know, what we've been doing the last year. But most recently, my last year of advocacy has led to me accepting a new job with the Oregon Health Authority. So I'm officially on the COVID response and recovery team. The crew is our name. And I'm an accessibility coordinator, policy analyst.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen, you know, your posts on social media and over the last year, and I think that's just like a perfect role. And I think it's so important. Can you talk a little bit more about just like what that, I know you just started, but like what that role entails and kind of your vision for it and how it impacts other areas of advocacy?
For sure. Yeah. So right now I'm, you know, we're on the COVID unit, the crew. So it's focusing on making sure that the vaccine rollout continues to be accessible. So I'm like helping FEMA audit some of our vaccine sites, and then we're creating resources for smaller vaccine sites, mobile vaccine units to be accessible as well as we start to integrate into you know, smaller communities, make sure that everyone is being served. So I'm basically auditing like processes, providing guidance and supporting other units within Oregon Health Authority. That's the high level.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, I'm sure you'll be finding out more about it as you get more adjusted into the role. And you know, and I think it definitely ties into what you've done at Magic Wheelchair. And so speaking of that, so Scotty, now, obviously, I think you're probably taking on even more of a role at Magic Wheelchair now that Christine has this position. And you touched on it earlier, but like how the pandemic has impacted it. So like I said, you know, we've done Comic-Cons together, and that was such a focal point of Magic Wheelchair for a while there. But how has the pandemic impacted it, and what has kind of like, how has it changed your daily life, particularly in the last year?
Well, I think that it was a little bit strange trying to figure out like, okay, how are we going to continue to do this? We, you know, like Comic-Cons are actually a really great way for us to raise money as well as, you know, get the word out. So I think things just went even more so digital, you know, like just kind of like over the internet, you know, spreading the word that way, or people are still donating. And, you know, I'm trying to come up with I want to start a maker space that would be more of a community oriented thing where we are around Portland. And I think that would be a great way to, you know, churn out products, you know, like costumes and get them done and, you know, have like a team that's actually like there to help. And, you know, that's more of like a costume factory, I guess, you know? And so I'm trying to put that together. And, you know, obviously all these things are kind of like, they take time, but that's where my head is right now. It's just like focusing on trying to like make this happen so we can have a brick and mortar magic wheelchair spot. You know,
you're downplaying it.
Am I?
Yeah, we've toured a building and we put our name on a building.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I, you know, okay. I didn't know what I was supposed to say, what yeah. I'm allowed to. Yeah.
I mean, it's more than theoretical. We are, we're in conversations with ownership of the building, seeing if it's the right fit for Magic Wheelchair. We're working with our board to make sure everything is, you know, up to par for them. But I mean, Scotty's been killing it. He's toured the space a few times. We've written up a big pitch on what it will do for us. Magic Wheelchair just graduated our 5-year mark, and there's kind of this unspoken 5-year curse for nonprofits. If you know, you either make it or you don't at that point. And so we've surpassed it, and now we just want to kind of redefine and reshape this next chapter. But
that's fantastic. I mean, I think when we talked, it was just starting to, you know, evolve more because, and I know, you know, and for listeners, you can go back and listen to that episode, but Magical Lecture was started by a couple of parents who have a child with SMA, and they came up with kind of the idea as just this very grassroots thing. And then it evolved, and, you know, over the years it's expanded into Comic Cons, and that's so exciting to see that a store is coming. That's fantastic. But I get another question on that. Can you guys, if you want to share maybe like a top 2 or 3 costumes you've seen over the years that either kids have come up with or you've done, because these are some of the coolest things I've ever seen. So I'm curious what your favorites are.
Oh man, I think my favorites, more so than the actual costumes themselves or the experiences that happened because of the costumes. Mm-hmm. Like we did our friend George down in Texas did a DeLorean, and then we took the fam to a Comic-Con where the cast of Back to the Future was there, and we got to take him to meet Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, and it was. I mean, his mind was blown. Like he touched the Michael J. Fox, like touched the costume, and he was like, he touched it, you know. And I was like, yeah, dude, it's so sweet, and you know. But that was huge for me too, because it's like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, look at what we're doing. Like these massive things for these kids. We did a Metallica costume, and Metallica got involved, and they're super good dudes who did a really cool video. For the girl that asked, she wanted it. She was 6 and wanted a Metallica costume, which I think is really cool. And, you know, and I really like the music things too, of course, you know, like there's like a Bruno Mars Cadillac thing. That was super cool. And they're all good. Every one of them, you know, every one of them has a different story and a different experience around it. Mm-hmm. And they're all great, you know, but I like the Predator costume quite a bit because obviously I love Predator, you know, and just the alien costume was mind-blowingly well done. That thing was crazy and it looked like a legit alien. And I was like, man, that's so cool. Yeah. I did a monster truck, a Gravedigger, and that one was super fun. And I really loved that kid so much. And he was just like a total ham. And it was just so much fun that weekend, you know. But it was a really cool thing to go to Monster Jam and watch monster trucks, you know, do flips. It was a lot of fun. Every one of them was just cool for a different reason.
I have huge respect for the kids who are like 6 and ask for a Predator wheelchair design. That's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. It's like, man, like way cooler than I was.
Every few months we get a request that comes in that's like, they love blood and gore. And like, I know that's a little strange, but could you do it? And we're like, yes.
Yeah. You don't know who you're talking to. Of course. Like,
yeah.
Stuff, you know, that's super fun. But I also like the princesses, you know, and all the, like, the, you know, those kind of things are, it's cute. It's fun.
I love when we have a princess costume and then we can do like a photo op with all of the Disney cosplayers. Like, that's super cool. Cause then they're like part of the princesses.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool. And I really like, we did an episode of Duff Takes the Cake with the Monster City Studios, built these really cool Jurassic Park costumes. And then Duff, the baker, made these really insane like dinosaur cakes, and we gave them to Universal Studios, and it was just a really cool experience. But like, those costumes were insane and the cakes were so impressive. I was like, this is amazing. Everybody's so talented. We know, yeah, so many like talented people. It's crazy.
And I think the world should know that these elaborate cakes, they also taste good. Like, yeah, it's not just sculpture. There was 40 pounds of chocolate sculpted dinosaurs. And then underneath it, it was like, what was it? Cookies and cream with gummy worms or something wild.
Yeah, it looked like the inside of the ground. So yeah, the ground was actually cake. But it was delicious. I feel really kind of like, man, that's a bummer. I'll probably never have that again.
That, hey, maybe one cake day. Well, I mean, hopefully Comic-Cons will be back to normal next year. So I mean, I know some have started up, but you know, hopefully those things and like a lot of the in-person celebrations will resume in the not too distant future. But that's great. No, I love the things you guys do, and yeah, I mean, you've met Stan Lee and done all these things. Like, that was just the cool thing. So well, before we get continue, if everyone could please listen to one more word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A treatment has been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this treatment option a reality. To learn more about this treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay, well, thanks again so much for sharing all of that. And shifting gears a little, I want to talk more about Christine and Scotty, your relationship and like how it evolved. And so I know Christine gave a little feedback, give a little like origin back on the first podcast. But Scotty, one thing if you don't mind talking about, because I know, you know, we know each other, I know that you have MS as well. And so I'm really curious about how, like, being in an interabled relationship, but also both of you have a disability, and like, I'm really curious how that impacts it. So if you want to just talk a little bit, I know it's kind of a loaded question, I'm going all over the place, but talk a little bit about when you met Christine and then tie it to your MS story. And I'm really curious how that plays into your relationship.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what she told you.
I don't either. What did I say?
I was more, you said like when you met and everything and online and all that, but I don't even know if we got to the interabled part, like that aspect of it. So
we catfished each other.
Yeah. Like,
I can say this immediately that I really hate the word interabled.
Okay.
Like, I do. I think we're just a couple.
Yeah.
And every relationship, both people have different skill sets and abilities. So I really just don't like that term. I feel like we're just a couple, and I don't think our physical whatever should define us, you know? And sure, I think people like allow that a lot. Like, it becomes like your identity. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. For me, like, the MS thing is, I'm kind of bitter about it. You know, it's like, kind of like, I was just kind of cruising through life, and then all of a sudden it kind of just slammed me, and it was really fast and really weird, and it was frightening. But I'm doing better. I don't take people's advice very well. Like, I don't really listen to doctors, and I should, I guess, maybe. It's not that I think I know better, but I think I know myself better than they know, you know? And there are risks to the drugs that they offer that I'm not willing to take. And so I don't know. I try to do things on my own. Like I'm like, well, if I eat better and, you know, I try to exercise and, you know, but I mean, the thing is I am doing better, and I haven't walked with a cane in a few months. I mean, a couple times I've used it because I felt a little uneasy, but, you know, but I feel like I am doing better, even though my disease is progressing. And so, and I don't know what that really means. And I don't know if that holds, like what that means for the future, you know, but I do know that it's scary to be, like I am a caregiver as well. And then like, what happens when I can't, you know? So that's frightening. And it makes me sad to think about it, you know, but for now I think things are all right. And, you know, but I'm trying to defeat MS. I'm not trying to like accept it as, you know, I really feel like I'm doing things that they're unconventional. And my neurologist will always say that, like, well, that's not been peer reviewed. And I'm like, I don't care. Like what I'm doing, it seems to be working. So I'm just going to keep doing it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not smart enough to have anything real to say about it. It's just the feeling that I have.
Sure. Sure. No, I appreciate your honesty there, because there, I mean, as I've interviewed so many people on this podcast and talked with people at SMA News Today's parent company, all kinds of people have different viewpoints toward their disability, and that's okay. You know, I want to like people to be willing to share their perspectives on that. And just Scotty, when were you diagnosed? I was just curious if it was like prior to when you met Christine or around that. Like, I wasn't sure.
Like
when.
At the same time.
Okay, gotcha.
It was like 8 years ago, and so I was living in Pennsylvania, and I one day I had this weird like numb patch on my thigh that was like the size of a dime, and then a couple days later it was like the size of like a half dollar, and by the end of the month, not even, probably 2 or 3 weeks, like my whole lower right quadrant was like completely numb, and I couldn't wiggle my toes. And then I had started having like bowel and bladder problems. And so I stopped eating and I stopped drinking, cause I'm like, well, I can't use the bathroom. So, and I ended up losing like 80 pounds. It was really weird. And then I moved to Oregon, and then I got diagnosed in Oregon.
Gotcha.
So it was really weird, but it was like a really short period of time. It was like right after I met Christine, I think, is when I got my actual legitimate diagnosis, even though I did see a neurologist who just goes, yeah, you have MS, but didn't do any tests. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
She was
like,
it's what it is, dude. Like, I don't really need to give you an MRI. I know what it is, but you should get an MRI. And then I moved, and then I got one later. And yeah, they were like, you have MS. You know what I mean?
Like, when we met, you said you had it, but I remember like there was some discrepancy because you weren't able to like get the treatment you needed or be seen because you were like not formally diagnosed enough.
Right. Yeah. So, they never wrote anything down. Yeah. It's like super weird, but I don't know. I mean, in the end, everything got done that needed to be done. And then it was like, cool, you definitively have this thing. Now take these meds. And I was like, no, I'm not really feeling that. Like, they put me on one med that was making me have really terrible reactions. And so I, after that, I was like, well, I'm just not going to take meds anymore. And so, I mean, even knowing it, it's not like I'm getting the right treatment because I'm being stubborn.
Yeah.
He's being very stubborn. But you are taking something. I mean, you're taking things that get better. And I don't know. We're both figuring it out. I think both of us, like, in a weird way, we're like the best we've been in a while, even though, I mean, I don't know.
Best, you mean like physically or what? Or like just, or in all capacities?
I'm feeling pretty great these days.
Yeah.
But here's the thing too, when this pandemic started, while a lot of my friends kind of just started drinking every day and they're just stuck in their houses and not, it's kind of like everybody shut down, like emotionally, and everybody just kind of started not really taking care of themselves. And this whole like, well, no one's going to see me anyway, why take a shower? You know, like, why even get dressed? You know, and like, I did the complete opposite. I was like, I'm coming out the other end of this way better than when I went in. Like, I was like adamant about it. I was like, I started riding a bicycle, which helped my legs, which I think I can attribute to the getting off using my cane. Mm-hmm. I started riding a bike every day. Like for like, started out, like I was trying to go 10 miles every day. And then I like got up to a point where I could like do like 35 miles, which is pretty cool for me. Cause I've never been like an athlete, you know?
Yeah.
Even when I didn't have bad legs, I was like, kind of like, why would I run? That sounds terrible.
Running does sound terrible.
It sucks. It's not fun.
I have no desire ever.
Yeah, don't. It's not fun. But I feel like I was like, I'm going to be better when I come out on the other end of this pandemic. I didn't want to live the same way I was living before, which was kind of like, I mean, I always ate well and like, you know, I don't think I was living poorly. I was just not really taking the best care of myself. You know, I like smoked cigarettes and stuff. I quit that 2.5 years ago, but like, I was not really taking care of myself that much, but now I am, you know, and it's helped. And it's definitely, it's weird that quitting smoking and eating junk food would make you feel better. Strange.
The irony there. Well, and also speaking of, you know, the past year and being stuck at home, I should mention too, this is like the first time you guys are actually physically apart right now, because I know, Scotty, you went home for a little bit in Ohio, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm in Cincinnati, right? At my brother-in-law's house.
Very cool.
Hi, darling.
Yeah, hi. I haven't seen you in a week.
It's been a while.
Missed you.
Scotty did sneak away in October to do that Metallica reveal, and that was like super scary. But it worked out amazingly. So yeah, this is the second time we've been apart.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Since October though, we've been pretty much with each other nonstop every day. This is, I love you so much, but it's kind of nice, right? Having a break. Yeah.
It's been.
Yeah, you're happy without me. Yeah, we're good.
Different vibe in the house.
I can tell. It looks dark in there.
What? No, it's sunny and beautiful. Are you kidding me?
It's lost my glowing.
Also, just for listeners out there, like this, I know because this is just an audio podcast, but I just have to say, Scotty has this green screen background here, and this is the most like professional it's ever looked on this podcast. It looks like we're in an actual studio, so this is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. But we got to tell them. Yeah. I thought this was going to be a video thing. And then David, my brother-in-law, was super excited because he has all this video equipment and like lights and backdrops and everything. And he's like, got me all set up. And then Christine's like, yeah, it's just audio. And I'm like, oh.
I mean, I spent too much time getting ready for the same reason, but it's fine. Yeah. So Scotty is sitting in front of a green screen and I'm sitting in front of what looks like a Victorian dungeon, which is my living room.
It really does. I was about to say, it's got, and he's got posters up there that look, has a very Victorian atmosphere. But
yeah, I like antiques.
That's cool.
I like weird art.
Hey, the weird
thing kind of like thinks that I'm old because I like stuff like antiques and hard candies.
Yeah, he is genetically and spiritually an old man. He likes hard candies and sweaters and...
Yeah. Why not be comfortable?
Christine, question about, because obviously listeners can get the vibe of your relationship here as it is, but thinking back to when you met Scotty and like, had you seriously dated at all before then? What was kind of your mindset going into that, like when you met him?
I've been married and divorced before. And then I met Scotty during my more wild woman dating phase, post-divorce, or I don't even know if it was final at the time. but I think, I mean, I was like, oh, look at this cool hot band dude. Well, okay, so backstory. We sort of both catfished each other because on his dating profile, he said that he was vegan and gluten-free. And he said something like, show me the vegan gluten-free cheesecake. And I've been gluten-free for, you know, my entire adult life. So I was like, oh my gosh, like a cute band boy that's gluten-free, like jackpot. But I mean, we joked that we both catfished each other because I don't think I wasn't looking for anything serious, and neither was he, but whoops. Look at us now.
No, I was looking for a wife.
Thank you for it.
Not at all. Very odd that I would actually have found love, you know?
Yeah.
It never was my style. I used to have a standing rule. I was like, even if we're getting along in 2 years, we should break up because there's like a vast world out there. And in 2 years, I feel like you kind of know everything about the person you are with. So like, what else is there to know? You might as well go separate ways. Even if you're getting along, you should just for the sake of experience. But then it's like, I don't know. I'm totally happy. So can't leave.
I hope love listeners understand our sarcasm.
How about you say that? Well, I'm happy. I can't leave, I guess.
I guess. Strange. I love you. When we met, so I have to clear something up. My doctors suggested I eat vegan and gluten-free to keep inflammation down in my system. And being that MS is an inflammatory condition, gluten can be inflammatory. And it was like, it wasn't like really like a thing that I was like happy about doing. You know, I was like, no, man, I want to eat pizza. You know, I love bread. It's good. So anyhow, we went out to dinner and I definitely did not order.
Oh my gosh. No, our first date.
Tell.
Yeah. Our first date, he orders this massive burrito. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
All right. So that was the catfishing on his part.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. And I did also get extremely ill afterwards, which was here's a sign. I got super sick. But also that she had this giant Great Dane. And so we went out to dinner. She had her caregiver was still at her apartment. And the caregiver had taken the dog out and then come back and slammed the dog's foot in the door. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
That dog was bleeding all over the place. So our first date, I actually went back to her apartment and like mopped up a whole bunch of dog blood. And it was like kind of a weird, I just cleaned her apartment. That was our first date.
Yeah, like our first date had every red flag that we should have both gone the other way, but we both make poor decisions. So here we are.
It was really, really strange. And then I left and you know, whatever. But we just started hanging out all the time. And it just kind of, I think at some point I was like, yeah, this is my girlfriend, Christine. And she like kind of looked at me like, oh, I am. And I was like, aren't you? Like, I thought that's what we were doing here.
All right.
Yeah. I think it was a very organic experience. You know, like it just kind of happened. Like, and I think it was just meant to happen.
I feel like every step of the way has been like that too. Like, I mean, neither of us were like, what are we? Like things would just happen. Like even when you proposed, I was like, are you okay?
Yeah. It was kind of an on a whim moment. Yeah, and I didn't like prepare at all. Like I didn't have any like.
Yeah, on a whim, but you bought the ring, so it wasn't that. I mean, whimsical.
Yeah, but that was. I was like looking at jewelry for myself, and I was like, "Well, I guess I should buy one of these too." You know, like, and then when I gave it to you, like you looked at me like, "What's wrong with you?"
I really hope there's an executive from Netflix listening because this is a great. Like start for a sitcom.
Oh my gosh. Our life is kind of a sitcom. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I write about my life a lot in my column. I mean, I have so many scenarios that are just like, this would make a great season right here. But
yeah, I feel like people expect us to always just like talk about like our struggles are always talking about being a disabled couple, but that's just not how it is. Like, it's just a very real life. That's kind of like an afterthought. I mean, lately we've had to, you know, be more outspoken about things, but I don't know. I just feel like it's pretty average, funny, quirky, challenging relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, sure. It's, I mean, every relationship's going to have its challenges, right? So like, you got to just kind of choose what challenges you're willing to kind of put up with, I guess, in a relationship, right? Like, what are you willing to do? And anything that's like, I don't care that Christine's got SMA and lives in a wheelchair. Like, I don't care about that. That's not important to me. She's funny and she's smarter than anybody I know. So like, that's what's important in a relationship. It's like, you know, we get along, we like similar things. I was actually kind of blown away because I got in her van when we first started dating and like turned on the stereo and she was listening to Catharsis, this like 90s hardcore band. And I was like, sick, this girl's cool. Nobody knows about that band. So, well, I don't know.
And speaking of that, you want to tell listeners what she just got you for, was it birthday, I think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just turned 40 yesterday. Or the day before? Was it yesterday? Yeah, I think so. Well, anyway, I'm 40 now. It's a really weird, surreal kind of bummer. But I'm cool. I feel exactly the same as I did 3 days ago. So no big deal. But she got me an Alice Cooper cameo that I freaked. I love Alice Cooper, but he sang me a song, and I kind of feel like he phoned it in a little on the song, but that's cool. It was great, you know. It was just a very cool gift, and it was a very thoughtful gift, and that's why I love her. You know, I don't need anything, Kevin. Like, I don't like need stuff. You know, I'm good.
But that was pretty awesome, though. Yeah,
I've been teasing him that since he was going to be out of town for his birthday. And by the way, he's in Ohio for the Brood X Cicada. So it's a big deal. So that we're joking that was his gift. And I said, well, since you're not going to be here for your birthday, like, you don't get gifts or a party. And then I had his friend film him when I texted him the cameo video.
Yeah,
and he was getting a cicada tattoo at the time as well. That was like at a tattoo shop. So I don't know, the day like fell into place pretty well.
Yeah, I did come back here for the Brood X cicadas because I find cicadas fascinating. And when I was a little kid, so this is the third cicadas I've seen somehow, because there's like 17 year, there's different year one. You know, but they only come out on prime numbered years. It's fascinating. You should really look into them. But I came out here to hang out with some bugs. That's what I did. And then I got a cicada tattoo, another one, because I already have a few cicada tattoos. But now I think that's just going to be my theme. I think for now on, I'm only going to get cicada tattoos.
Do it. I love all the unique stuff you have. The Victorian setting here at your home, cicada tattoos. It's just like, it encompasses both of you as a couple and as individuals. Well, so
I just like things, you know. I'm just interested in so many things, and like, I find things really genuinely interesting. Like my sister was like, "What do you mean you're coming back for some bugs?" And I was like, "What is it?" So like, then as I got talking to her about some bugs, and now she's a fan. Now she's like, she's sold. She's like, yeah, that is cool. I was like, yep. See, I like learning.
It's a good, hey. And I mean, you just turned 40, but never stop learning. That's like a great way to go.
Oh, yeah. I think that's very much encompasses who we both are as people.
That's awesome. Well, and Christine's guy, this has been great, but before you go, can you talk just a little bit about your daily lives? So I know, like Tati, you mentioned you are Christine's primary caregiver, but obviously, Christine, you have others, you know, that especially during times when Scotty's away. So can you just talk a little bit about the nuances of your daily lives, like Christine, we'll start with you. Just kind of like a typical work day, what that looks like for you.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the day, but with my new job, it's definitely shifting like our hours because I have to be up and screen ready by 8 a.m, which is a shock to our party animal systems. But yeah, so normally, actually, I feel like it's super romantic, even though it's just life. But Scotty gets up, feeds the dogs, makes my coffee, comes in, wakes me up with coffee in hand, as you should. And then... And that helps me get dressed and ready for the day. If he's the only one that's here, so then I get, you know, he does my hair and my makeup and then gets me set up for work. And then, you know, he has things that he has to do around the house and for Magic Wheelchair while I'm working during the day. Helps me with lunch and, you know, using the bathroom in between meetings. I mean, yeah, work day is kind of like boring now. And then after work, we've been hanging out in our new extended backyard area, or he'll go to band practice and I'll have someone come hang out with me while he does that. I'm usually not alone for obvious reasons. Yeah, band practice. So like lately our scheduling requirements involve making sure I can use the bathroom, making sure I'm screen ready for work, him going to band practice, him touring the Makerspace building. We also have like lots of shipping that we do for Magic Wheelchair because we have an online store. So he'll do a lot of that during the day. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm having to schedule my needs a little more, like, oh, I eat and go to the bathroom at this time. But usually it's pretty just like when I need to, he's here to help me with that. I don't know. What do you think? Dogs take up a lot of our scheduling too.
It's kind of weird. So here's the thing. I am doing some sort of treatment, which is nothing to do with MS, but I'm doing testosterone replacement therapy the past couple of months, and it's changed my circadian rhythm. Like, it's kind of a blessing because usually I was up till 4 a.m. and then we get up at like 11, you know, and so then since this, just naturally I'm like in bed by 11, getting up at 7 a.m. with like, just for some reason, I don't know. I've never been like this ever in my life, but
it's perfect.
It's great. And also, symptomatically, that's helped a lot with my MS and my strength and my ability to be helpful. So it was good that I figured out that I had something wrong with me in that respect. Cause I had like no estrogen and it was messing me up. So, fixing that problem, and that's making everything more, definitely more doable. I was feeling very weak before, so now it's like, you know, get up and I'm ready to go. So it's like feed the dog, you know, just I don't know.
My coffee delivery is like my favorite part of our day. Well, I always joke in the morning, I'm like, when he brings me my coffee, then I start talking about my sleepy drink that he makes me at night, and then at night when I'm drinking that, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for coffee.
Yeah, but I feel like we've developed a pattern that works and a routine that works, and we're a pretty good team, and we just get stuff done. I don't know how we do it really, but I never do feel like we have enough time, but somehow we always make it work. So
yeah,
that's great. You should come up with like a theme song for like the Folgers best part of waking up. You can do that for your coffee morning routine.
You should write me a song about that, but
do it.
Yeah. Delivering my coffee and romance every morning.
Yeah, I know. It seems so idyllic, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's funny because I like don't really drink coffee, so it's like weird that I get up and make coffee every morning. And like, I don't know, I just feel like that's something that people normally do, and I never did. And now I'm like, I'm a coffee master now. I make the best of coffees.
It's true.
Hey, I mean, now you're 40. You've got that skill mastered down. So that's perfect.
Yeah, that's a good one to have, I guess. You know, I don't drink it really, not often. I don't dislike it. I don't know why I don't drink it. I should start drinking more coffee.
Dude, I always buy you like the iced coffee that you like and it just sits in the fridge.
I know.
Don't pretend now for the listeners that you're going to become a coffee drinker.
I feel like at 40, I should act like an adult. I feel like it's a very adult thing to do. Remember like when you were a kid and like adults would drink coffee and it was like, one day I'm going to drink coffee.
Yeah.
I just never grew up. I refused to age, you know?
That's part of the problem.
Christine, well, over here not disagreeing. Yeah.
This is entertaining. Well,
when I came here, you guys don't care about this, but a lot of my family members haven't actually met me because I've not lived here in a long time. So the little kids were like, who's that? And they're like, oh, that's Crystal's brother. And they're like, nuh-uh, he looks too young. And I was like, sick.
Nice. That's compliment. Great. Oh, that's great.
That's funny.
Well, Christine Sky, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on today. And before we go, where can people find either you individually or Magic Wheelchair? Where can people find more of what you're doing?
Yeah, so magicwheelchair.org is our website. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram primarily. Trying TikTok, but I just can't hack that algorithm, so whatever. I'm okay with it. I'm also on all of those platforms. We're both on all of the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Scotty's band is Ritual Springs. You should listen to them as well. On iTunes and Spotify. Can I plug that?
Absolutely. Okay. For the plug.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some videos too. You can watch me hang out with waterfalls.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Instagram, you're going to see more of my dogs. Facebook, you're going to see more of our romantic life. I just feel like that's a more secure platform. And then Twitter is a lot of advocacy stuff. We haven't really touched on it, but due to the pandemic, you know, we've been both way more involved in advocacy. We got a big Senate bill passed here during the Oregon 2020 legislative session. I just think it's worth talking about real quick if we have time.
Go ahead.
So this was a bill that requires hospitals to let folks who have disabilities make their own care decisions and also identify caregivers to be with them in the hospital, no matter what the current state of emergency is, no matter what the hospital's visitor policy is. So that was a big thing that I experienced in April of 2020. We don't need to hash out those horrific details, but we made sure that no other Oregonian would be without proper care if they were to be hospitalized. So that was a cool accomplishment.
That's awesome.
I think did that redefine us? I feel like that ever since that happened, we've been like a different couple. Like we just have this like agreed upon silent mission to not let that happen.
Extremely traumatic experience having you in a hospital for what, 10 days I was completely helpless. I couldn't do anything.
It was only long. 5 days, but it felt like more.
Well, I don't think it was 10. Been for a long time, and I felt like I couldn't, you know, I was like, I can't do anything to help her. I felt very powerless. It was awful. And I was very afraid to lose you. Honestly, the COVID thing was new and frightening. We had no idea. We had no information, you know. So in having you there, it was like, we knew that we didn't have it, and we had quarantined together for weeks ahead of this, your meningitis bout. And then, so they're like, well, it was almost like that's the place you're going to get it. You know what I mean? So like that, not being able to be there or help you and not knowing, I honestly was like, she might not come out of there. So that was really, that was heavy, you know? And
rough.
Nobody should ever have to feel that way. And nobody should be put in harm's way by the health system. Mm-hmm. And it just felt really, it was necessary to get something done, for sure.
I mean, so many folks that were not disabled clung onto those headlines that were like, oh, it's okay, it only affects the elderly and disabled. Like, we were always told, like, it's us, it's going to affect us. Like, ventilator, all of the rationing and the critical care triage, like, we were reminded daily on headlines that, like, we would not be saved. And so to have gone through that and come out on the other end, it was like, oh, we can't stop fighting. I mean, we can't stop fighting until it's abnormal for folks to cling onto those headlines. The onus was on everyone who had disabilities to, like, be okay, to stay okay, to stay out of the hospital. No one was going to come and protect us and come and save us. And so I think that's really lit the fire under both of us to keep fighting and to keep speaking up and to make sure that, you know, folks with disabilities are thought of on day one when policies are created, not as an afterthought, not after we start sounding the alarms. And so I think that's something that we both get very fired up about.
As you should. I mean, I know I follow your story too, and it is, I love what you said there about putting us as a priority and not as an afterthought. I mean, I feel like a lot of people have felt that way over the past year, both by healthcare system and just by society in general. It's like,
yeah,
some of the, like, best and worst has come out in people through all this. And so, yeah, more power to you for keeping up the good fight and continuing advocating no matter what state of the world we're in.
And now it's my job.
That's fantastic. Well, again, Christine and Toddy, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. And I'm sure we'll have, like, we'll definitely have you on again. We'll have more updates then, and about maybe Scotty will pick up a new skill in addition to coffee making. Well, time will tell. We'll see what happens. But
well, I'm like learning how to play the banjo.
Do you? Oh, nice.
That's cool. Yeah, next time I'm on, I'll play a little something for you.
Yeah, you can do. That's like a Steve Martin thing. You can do that. That's
pretty cool. I figured it's a drum. I'm a drummer, and I was like, it's a drum. You just play it weird.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again both so much. And for our listeners out there, you can find more episodes like this by subscribing to this podcast. And you can check out all of our content on smanewstoday.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.